Do you think it's picking up the dog chewing noises?
Is it picking up the dog chewing noises?
Now there's an intro. Hi, I'm Sean Collier. There's Liz Roberts, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
And we're in Liz's living room. If you can hear dog chewing noises, that's Lego. He's on the show, too.
Oh, Lego.
But we're not here to talk about dogs and what they eat, except for a little bit of this movie.
There was a hell dog.
There was a hell dog, but that's not the point. The point is, it's the 17th Marvel movie. We haven't done a podcast for all of them, but boy, it feels like it. Thor Ragnarok, this week on You Can't Handle the Truth.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. The guys would love it if you would subscribe to them, give them a rating and a review. If you like the episode, please just share it. It's super easy. Your kids can show you how to do it. And you can catch me on Add It Up with Your Best Friend Addie, where I interview musicians, comics, just anybody who entertains me. And I tackle a different topic every episode. So come laugh at us as we laugh at ourselves.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, November 3rd, 2017. As mentioned, I'm Sean Collier here at a location that I will not disclose in case any of you are stalking Liz.
I hope no one's stalking me or gets the idea to. Let's just, you know, keep it under our hat.
We are in the south of the city of Pittsburgh.
Yes.
That's where we are. We're recording here because two reasons. One, we had to pick up the recorder from Aaron Kleiber, who could not be here this week. Two, the last time I tried to record in the food court of the Cinemark Pittsburgh Mills with Eric Leslie, who also lives in this house, a mall cop on a Segway came over and told us we had to leave.
I remember that. I mean, I remember hearing about it.
And we recorded our way outside and continued the conversation there. I think that was a Marvel movie.
Oh, yes. It definitely was.
Was that Doctor Strange?
It was Doctor Strange, I think.
Yeah. So rather than risk that,
sure,
we came here to your compound.
Yes.
In the south of Pittsburgh.
In Dem Hills.
Liz is the future host of Liz's Bad Podcast.
Yes.
What's that? You'll know it when you see it.
Oh, you will.
And I will make everyone well aware of it. It'll feature people who have appeared on this podcast before, I'm sure.
Oh, most certainly.
Like me, I hope. And definitely Marta. She'll be on there.
Oh, sure.
And Bevan, who you heard Blue Sky. You met Blue Sky. You don't even know Blue Sky.
Oh, no. I haven't had the pleasure.
Blue Sky is Bevan's character for this year's Scarehouse Basement.
Oh.
It's basically Bevan if Bevan, shirked her few remaining responsibilities and lived the life that would result.
That's actually pretty easy to imagine.
Yeah, no, what you're picturing is exactly correct. Mm. If you missed the basement, boy, too late.
Yep.
Liz has hovered around podcast appearances for quite some time, and finally here to talk about,
at long last,
Thor Ragnarok. Liz, tell the people your relationship with Marvel broadly.
I came to Marvel late in life. I saw the first Iron Man movie, and mm-hmm. I was like, huh, I guess maybe Marvel knows a thing or two. It was interesting, and that was a long, long time ago. I was in high school, I believe.
No, you definitely weren't.
I wasn't.
Because I was almost done with college when Iron Man came out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's going on 10 years ago, but it's not more than that.
Huh.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just... time is weird. It feels like it has been forever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway,
go
yes.
On.
You know, then basically since the Avengers and Captain America, I've been hooked. Prior to that, I was exclusively a DC fan.
Yeah, the movies really turned that around, didn't they?
Sure did. The Marvel Cinematic Universe has done really quite a lot of good.
Well, and you know, that's been kind of discussed ad nauseum, but I you know, now that it has been 10 years and I'm seeing the 17th of these movies, just over the opening logo, the new fancy one that they rolled out this year, I'm thinking about how I too came to it late in life. I didn't have any attachment to any of these characters, certainly as a child, maybe Spider-Man in the loosest way. But now it feels like, oh yeah, these are my superheroes. These are the superheroes that I like and know lots of things about. And that's not from comics or cartoons or video games. That's purely from these movies. They've done this from the ground up, making billions of dollars along the way.
Well, and I think what really hooked me into the Marvel Cinematic Universe mm-hmm. is that they are creating these stories that build upon one another. I was very frustrated as a child with movie franchises that would go two or three movies and then two or three years later reboot the whole franchise.
Mm-hmm.
I love a story that has the the guts and the content to build on itself.
Yeah,
and they've done that with extreme skill. I mean,
right.
It's in 17 movies, a decade of time.
Yeah,
it's an investment on the part of someone at the studio.
Yeah, that Kevin Feige guy,
the guy
who definitely is worth all the money in the world and has masterminded this entire thing. And if he walked into this room right now, I definitely wouldn't recognize him.
Didn't even know who you were talking about.
Yeah, he's the producer that is the architect of all of this, of the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe. And what's interesting is that now this has been going on long enough that there are numerous imitators, and we're seeing them fail. You know, DC said recently they're thinking of getting away from the DC Extended Universe already. Like, they're gonna do Justice League, and they're gonna do the Aquaman is already wrapped, and you know they'll probably do Flash and Cyborg maybe. But they, after the success of Wonder Woman, as opposed to all their other stuff, they're like, oh, actually...
I know, that's a shocker, right?
Right. Actually, maybe it's... We don't need to ape Marvel. And Universal just tried to launch the Dark Universe, which you may not even know about because it failed
nope.
that hard. Do you have the slightest vague recollection of a Tom Cruise mummy movie like six
yes.
months ago?
Yes.
They were so determined that would be the launch of a cinematic universe that they did a logo up for it on the first one. They like Dark Universe, it said at the beginning of the movie, and this was supposed to be an infinite number of connected movies about the Universal monsters. Like
yes, I did hear about this.
Russell Crowe was in it as Dr. Jekyll. And
right.
It didn't work out, and now immediately they're like, So we're seeing that not only is it that, you know, it is not that, oh, audiences just love this blanket. It's that, no, you have to use excessive care and caution and really be concerned with quality and really nail it to make this a thing.
Yes. It has to be a well-built, well-thought-out story, and no one else has seemed to do it well.
No. And what is you I might just be inserting this into your mythology. I feel like you're more fond of Guardians than anything else. Did I make that up?
I mean, I'm very fond of Guardians.
Yeah.
I have an affinity for the Captain America films that surprise mm-hmm. no one more than me.
Yeah. Cuz that's not
I've never been overly patriotic, let's say, and I think that my understanding prior to the Captain America films was that Captain America was a stuffy, boring celebration of Independence Day.
Yeah.
And all things America.
Yeah.
In a time growing up when that wasn't always a positive thing, right? So but what the Marvel Cinematic Universe did with those movies, mm-hmm. did with those stories, was incredibly impressive and surprisingly elicited a patriotic response
yeah.
that I did not see coming.
Yeah. I mean, to the point where if you follow Twitter, the lines between actor and character are fading away.
They sure are.
Like, I want to get him a shield.
Yes. I'm sure he has one.
Well, he's probably got a few, but I want him to get a functional shield.
Right.
I want Elon Musk to, let's face it, Elon Musk is already working on this. He's like, the cars, but also we're trying to
we're trying to get Chris. Isn't Elon Musk basically Tony Stark?
Oh, man, you're right. It's all coming together. Who was our real-life Hulk? It's The Rock.
It's The Rock. It's literally The Rock.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
This is, it writes itself,
it does.
Hollywood. But I bring up Guardians, which is not your favorite part of the MCU, but pretend it is to make this transition work. Because I spoke to Aaron Kleiber for 45 seconds before the recording of this podcast, and his question was, so they made it like Guardians, right? And the answer is kind of yeah.
Guardians-ish.
Thor Ragnarok, now we're getting to the point. Thor is
yes.
Guardians-ish.
Yes, the movie is in the style of Guardians, but it is not Guardians.
No.
And I am definitely stealing this from someone, and I don't know who it is. I can't remember who said this at some point, but there was conjecture among some folks that what the MCU is doing is that anything that happens out in space can have that style.
Okay.
And Thor Ragnarok definitely was an out in space movie.
Yes. We were on Earth for a hot minute. That's not, I guess that's,
yes.
If that's enough of a spoiler for you, you're too worried.
Exactly.
We're not on Earth. We're on Earth just for a bit.
Right.
This is fundamentally a movie that takes place other places, as you should know from the trailer. And that's interesting because that wasn't really the case with the first two Thors. The first two Thors were kind of weighty. They were kind of serious, like Thor as a character. This is such a different character than the Thor in the first Thor, or even in the first Avengers movie.
Honestly, it's as if the people running the Marvel movies said, it's like they saw Lady Ghostbusters and they went, oh, he's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he had a couple of those lines, especially in Avengers 2, right? Because
mm-hmm.
he wasn't in Civil War.
No,
oh,
I don't think
and
he
this
was.
Is all why. Because this is concurrent.
Right.
Which is why Thor and Hulk were
and
the
Hulk
two
are,
that weren't
yes.
there. Aha, see what happened.
We're putting it all together.
Yeah, now we know.
And this is another fun part of the universe.
Right.
We're just putting these puzzles together.
Right.
Someone else has already done all of this work.
But, I mean, like, in my head canon, it's that, okay, Thor, like Tony Stark really rubbed off on Thor, and now he's more funny, and now he's more, you know, he's adopted some of Stark's attitude to his dealings.
You think it's Stark? Really?
Or who?
I don't know. Take your pick. I mean, any one of them. I really do like the pairing in this movie of Thor and Hulk, although I think we were going to say something else about that at some point.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know what? Steve Rogers in the Avengers films has a very a humility to his self-awareness that he doesn't get what's going on.
Yeah.
That he doesn't get the references.
Right.
And And Thor also doesn't get the references for different reasons, but he brought an arrogance to it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No,
so I'm not.
There's a number of characters, I think, in the Avengers who you could attribute some of Thor's newfound humor at his funny situations.
No, I don't think I'm complaining. Like, the theme of everything I think about Thor Ragnarok is, I don't think I'm complaining. I think I'm happy about this, but. And that's three things. One is, I don't think I'm complaining. I think I'm happy about it, but Thor has a character now that he didn't have, certainly in the first movie, probably in the second
movie.
He has
layers.
Right. They changed that character. I think it's for the best, but they definitely changed that character. Thing two, I don't think I'm complaining, but they moved this franchise from being the weighty fantasy, the Lord of the Rings, to being fun space-time. Not in the same way that Guardians is fun space-time, because Guardians really is an action comedy. This still kind of has that Avengers weight to it, but is much more concerned with, you know, showing you the absurdity of some of these situations and not dwelling too much on the mythology. Which, I don't think I'm complaining. That was good, right? It's good that it's not exactly Guardians, but it's still like, oh, we know what you're doing here. You changed it a lot.
I mean, it's good, and I... So let me try and take it to where I think you're going with the I'm not complaining, but like,
right,
it was good.
Right.
But let's go back to that trailer, which has everybody super excited about the film, and they should be.
Right.
People should be excited about this film.
You're
going to
have a
good film. You're going to have a great time. But they do kind of make you think you're getting Guardians, and it's not Guardians.
Yes. I mean, it when you watch that trailer... And this goes to a couple of different points. When you watch that trailer, it seems like, oh, here's Guardians if the Guardians were Thor, Loki, Hulk, and this new Valkyrie.
Well, that is a spoiler, isn't it? Like,
I don't think so.
Really?
I think we all know that.
Oh, maybe I was just thick.
I don't think you were thick. I think, like... That's the level of if that's a spoiler, that's the level of spoiler that anyone who could possibly care about having that spoiled already knows it, right?
Here's hoping.
The name of the character is Valkyrie.
Never mind. Tessa Thompson as Valkyrie. I take that back.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like, oh, it's Guardians, but here's the new team.
In fact, you see the trailer and you know there are going to be surprises, things they're not showing you.
Yeah.
And it does look like it could be like the Guardians guys could show up.
Yeah, I was wondering.
We all were.
Which I'm going to be glad when I stop wondering that, because for every Marvel movie since Guardians,
You are waiting for those paths to converge.
All right, here we go. And have you seen the leaked Infinity War trailer?
I haven't, and I assume that that is where it happens.
Right. And, okay, sorry, I just spoiled a trailer. Shut up, move on with your life. It's, yes, if you've seen the Infinity War trailer, all over it is Iron Man hanging out with the Guardians, which, like... Oh, okay, so I guess that isn't happening at all until that movie? Because I assume that's not what Black Panther is about. There's no way that Black Panther is about Iron Man meeting the Guardians of the Galaxy. That's definitely about Wakanda.
Well, right.
So, and with Black Panther being the only movie between now and Infinity War. So, what point am I making? The point I'm making is they should have incorporated the Guardians by now. But anyway, yes, the trailer sells you, here's some more space action like Guardians. And you get a version of that that still is faithful enough to what the main Avengers storyline has been doing. So I think good. It's still a little like, Okay. All right, fine. But
it wasn't quite what I was expecting, and yeah. I think that some of that is the trailer's fault,
mm-hmm.
Because it builds it up in a certain way, and makes you think it's going to be something that it doesn't quite reach. It gets very close.
Yeah.
But it doesn't quite reach Guardians level of action comedy, although I think it does still qualify as action comedy.
Yeah,
lots of it are very funny.
Yes. There's not the percentage of scenes that are a pure, unironic action scene is pretty low. The difference with Guardians is there's never a scene like that. That even in the climactic scene of Guardians 2, it briefly involves Pac-Man. Like, there's never a moment where Guardians is 0% comedy. This has a few moments that are 0% comedy. And that gets to the other, I don't think I'm complaining, but, which we'll get to the big problem with the trailer in a minute, I don't think I'm complaining, but this movie is definitely a side quest.
Absolutely.
And I actually was calling for that. I actually was saying I'm really sick of every single movie in this entire franchise being about, here's the thing that's going to destroy the universe today, which most of them are. Even Doctor Strange was, which is arguably... Well, Doctor Strange and the two Guardians movies are the most to the side of anything we've seen so far, and they're all about, oh, this is going to destroy the universe. So it was... I'm glad that this felt like, this does feel like, yes, here's the story of what was going on with Hulk and Thor for the past year, which I'm happy about until, oh wait, also it's about destroying the universe. Like, I'm glad they got the memo to, like, step aside from the main storyline and tell a different story with characters we know and love, but again, this is not a spoiler because you know that the Goddess of Death shows up. They've got to save the universe from the Goddess of Death. And, like, I just kind of wish that would have been more, we're fighting for the throne of Asgard, full stop. Like, that's enough. You don't have to, she's going to destroy everything and crush the entire,
right,
all the realms under her.
She doesn't want to stop at 9 realms. She wants to have all of them. So, you know, everything is in danger. And so, at least this movie... I think handles well a problem that Eric and I have had with previous, like the last Thor movie or whatever. Namely being that, you know, when you have these side movies with members of the Avengers and mm-hmm. there's the, you know, something is threatening the universe, why do they not call the rest of their Avenger friends?
Yeah.
Why is it like, oh, I have to handle this myself because it's the Thor movie?
Yeah.
This it's very clear why.
Yeah.
Why
there's no, they're not
that
available.
That at least plot-wise
right.
makes sense.
Right.
So you don't have that kind of gaping plot hole, but I mean, the way that all this is handled, I agree, you know, I mean... It is a side quest, and yet the fate of the universe has to hang in the balance.
Yeah, but again, mostly not complaining. Glad it's that. And they even took a deliberate beat to throw away the main storyline in the first 10 minutes of the movie where he was like, I looked for the Infinity Stones. Didn't find them. Then, like...
Yeah,
Which was like, oh, good, so I know it's not about that. Okay, cool.
And it was a nice point of humor.
Yeah. Well, and... Let's say that because I'm being more negative than I should about a movie I genuinely very much enjoyed.
Really, it was very good and very
it's
funny.
It's
and
really
good,
funny.
Good grief, don't we all need to go watch something and laugh?
Yeah, they are.
It does that very well.
The funnier Marvel movies are, if they are not as funny as the funniest comedies, they are in some ways more surprising in their humor because there is such familiarity with these characters. Because there is 17 movies of background, and for the superfans, even more than that, that they can play with, and they can have all of these throwaway... I won't spoil it, but, like, there's a callback to, you know, the moment that Loki met Hulk that is just so perfect. And it's funny in a, you know, in a nice, familiar way that rewards you for your continued memory of the franchise. That's really cool. It's cool that they can do that and that that happens. Yeah?
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
I guess a lot of that is due to, can you pronounce the director's name? I don't want
to
get it wrong.
In all the research I did prior to this podcast, none of it was listening to a recording of the director's name, so I will not attempt to pronounce it, but he's a cool guy.
I believe it's, wait, there, Wikipedia said it. Taika Waititi, a director from New Zealand. Now, I have to admit that I... have not seen any of his prior work. You can talk about What We Do in the Shadows.
I actually also haven't seen that
prior
work.
Oh, I thought
work.
You had seen
I,
that.
I,
okay, sorry.
I just reference it heavily as if I have.
Okay, good. That's a movie about, that's like a faux documentary about vampires?
Yes.
With Jermaine Clement?
With Jermaine Clement.
Yeah.
So I feel like as soon as you, if you're familiar with Jermaine Clement's
right.
work, then you mention him. And you kind of know exactly what you're getting, only this guy made it funny.
Yeah, so picture that. I'm sure you're all around it. I haven't seen it either, so I'm sorry. I should have seen that. I also should have seen his movie last year, Hunt for the Wilder People, was very much acclaimed. What did he do on Moana? Uncredited, wrote initial screenplay. How about that?
Uncredited.
So he worked on Moana. We'll say that. Anyway, the point is, he's done weird indie movies. And in the great Marvel tradition, they were like, yeah, he's the guy. And, you know, obviously it was going to be Thor because these movies kind of direct themselves in sort of the overall tone. And it just seems like he inserted a very specific brand of humor into it.
Yes, but also I think it's worth pointing out by also inserting himself.
Oh yeah, he was hilarious.
He was hilarious.
He plays
without that character and without that humor, it would have fallen flat. I think
monosyllabic character name Korg.
Korg.
He plays Korg, and Korg is hilarious. Korg is. You know,
a rock creature in the style of Terry Pratchett.
Yeah. And so, like, I'm not going to give away the jokes, but the when he picked this thing up, that joke is like, it's so absurd and so hilarious that I can't believe that joke exists.
Yeah.
And that
it
happened in
this
movie.
I mean, in retrospect, I have a lot of, like, canon problems with that joke, but I have no problems with the humor problems of that joke.
Oh, man. Yeah, that raises a lot of questions if you stop to think about it.
I know.
But it's so, he's so funny, and, like, by making him the decided comic relief, it you know... It kind of gives them the excuse to say, "Look, it's not like we made made Loki a wacky non-entity. It's this guy Korg is the wacky non-entity."
Yes,
it's a brilliant performance by the director. Look at that.
Yeah,
I'm a little worried. Tell me not to worry. I'm a little
don't worry.
Thank you. I'm a little worried that Marvel is painting itself into a comedy corner. Because
you know, I sensed this coming from you, and I'm just gonna disagree. And
okay,
and
good.
I mean, like, I'm gonna say, don't worry, but really, don't worry.
Well, it's just they made three movies this year. This one was trying really hard to be funny, and might have been the least funny of the three. Like, if I sat down and watched Spider-Man Homecoming right now, I'd probably be like, yeah, Thor was a little funnier than that. But
you're right that Thor was intentionally funny, right. Where Spider-Man Homecoming was endearingly and honestly and earnestly funny.
Yeah, and Guardians is a comedy.
So yeah.
It's like, you had three movies this year, and they were all pretty damn funny.
Let's go back for a second here. Guardians is a comedy, and I think that we all, like, accept and respect that, but, like, this year's Guardians, you know, 2 was it also pulled heartstrings. It had some heart in there. More than your comedy.
But so does Groundhog Day. I mean, I like... having heart does not make it not any less of a comedy.
I mean, okay.
I'm just wondering, like, okay, this is a better way to phrase this question. The next Marvel movie that just isn't that is not trying to be funny. Yes, you're hearing dog noises. Lego has very opinionated about the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
He really loves it a lot.
Probably more the TV shows, which are what he has been more exposed to.
Sure.
What's here's a 20-second conversation, because I haven't watched a single episode of any of them.
I'm sorry, what?
I haven't watched a single episode of any of the Marvel shows.
None of the Netflix.
Yeah, so I'm asking you, what's the best one?
Jessica Jones.
Definitely?
Hands down.
Okay.
There's only been one season.
Yeah.
But... I would say, hands down.
And have
Jessica
you watched
Jones.
the TV ones, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or the?
I love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I have fallen behind on it, like extremely behind.
Yeah.
I will say that what I love and miss about watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is that what they did with Winter Soldier was incredible.
See, and that meant nothing to me.
It meant nothing to you, yeah. But I was actually watching it at the time. Yeah, no, the dog is very opinionated. So watching it that at the time, watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, end its normal run, then that weekend Winter Soldier came out.
Yeah.
Then when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. came back at its normal time the next week, the world... of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was changed by the events of Winter Soldier.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't know that.
It was incredible. Being a part of that was incredible.
Hmm. But and Jessica Jones is the best standalone thing on the small
screen. In my personal
opinion,
Marvel. Yes, though yeah. I am, you know, a female comic book enthusiast.
Right. This has been Lego, you made us divert to TV. Good job. It's
yes.
Okay.
Good job,
good
boy.
Give everyone
He's
his
a good dog.
Give everyone his full name.
His name is Beagle Lugosi.
The
and
third.
We call him Lego for short.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He's just confused as to why people are talking about him.
Mm-hmm. And not giving him bones.
Yeah. In any case, this is the question I was building to. When the next Marvel movie that isn't funny, not because it fails to be funny, but because it doesn't want to be funny, which is probably going to be Black Panther from the look of the
sure.
tone of Black
yeah.
Panther.
Yeah.
Is it going to feel like a lesser experience because I wasn't laughing a lot?
I do not believe so.
Okay.
No, I mean, I think this is part of the beauty of the work that they've put into the Marvel Cinematic Universe is that it really can be, it can run the gamut of all the feels that you expect from a film.
Yeah.
And I expect that Black Panther is... this is my prediction,
yeah.
is going to hit everyone over the head with, like, a version of a fantastical mirror
mm-hmm.
to reality.
Yeah.
That I hope is empowering for all its fans.
I hope you're right, and I think you're right, and I think it's good that Black Panther is the next thing coming, and it's not like, hey, we're going to have a serious take on Ant-Man now. I mean, it's good that after this run of comedy, the upcoming serious movie is Black Panther. I think that's the way I want it to happen. I wonder if in my mind now Marvel is just super happy fun times and like it's going to be hard to break that.
It's already not super happy fun times because you're like, this movie's funny, but is it the right kind of funny?
That's true.
I mean, it's already making you question, like, what even is it?
Yeah.
And I think Black Panther is going to be a serious film. And frankly, I think Infinity Wars is not going to be a laugh-along.
I mean, but think about that. Like, you're going to have a movie with Groot and Loki and Ant-Man and this Spider-Man, and it's going to be serious?
I think we're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But I think we are going to take those characters that we enjoy so much and that we love and that we have a lot of fun with and put them in serious peril. Uh-huh. And then we're all going to go, oh, crap, it's not fun anymore.
Okay.
It's, you know, it's serious.
I think and hope you are right. I'm just here to worry about silly things. The last thing I want to mention, Mary Beth watched this with us, and she said this to me immediately as soon as the non-reveal happened. Because I know how expectations and surprise and payoffs work. Right now I'm saying, hey, Thor Ragnarok was really good. I had a really good time. If I had not known that the Hulk was in it, my mind would be blown and I would be toying with saying it was the best Marvel movie ever. Like, if they had kept that one in their pocket, it would have been mind-blowing. And they didn't, and I'm angry about that.
I don't think anger is the right response. I know Lego agrees with you.
Yeah.
He's very angry about it. But, I mean, we've basically spoiled the movie for him.
Right, yeah, sorry.
As we've been, you know, talking about this. But, So there's another Marvel Cinematic Universe character in the movie, and I don't know if we can say because this wasn't in the trailer.
Right. Yeah, let's not say. I mean,
so let's not say, but I do agree.
It's not Hawkeye.
It's not Hawkeye. I do agree that if they had gone with featuring this guy and saying like, "Oh, well, we've just revealed it's also not Black Widow."
Or Scarlet Witch.
Sure. Yes, that one.
Hey, Scarlet Witch is great.
I am not dissing Scarlet Witch in any way. So the point being that if in the trailer they had focused on this character and made it seem as if they had a larger role to play and kept the fact that the Hulk was in it out of the trailer, then yes, I agree it would have been far more impactful.
Yes.
For the film.
Yeah.
Because you would have gone along as the audience in the same way that Thor did, realizing, "Oh god, this horrible creature I have to face is my friend."
Right.
But also,
which I think is the way it was written. There was so much build up to that reveal that I think that they don't know how it's going to be marketed when they're making the movie. I think that director, writer, everyone involved thought this is going to be the biggest reveal ever. You think that there's just a rancor is just coming out of this gate, and it's, oh my god, it's Hulk. We haven't seen him. Oh my god, Hulk is in this movie. That would have been, that's how they wrote it. But they I guess we're too afraid of, I guess they wanted to build the marketing around it's a big Thor Hulk party.
I think that they were struggling with, okay, well then why do we, what is the reason for the audience to come see this film? And this is such a great part of the movie. Why don't we go ahead and let the audience in on it? And I think, I hope that there are other markets in which they are marketing the film differently.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's the case. Or, I mean, this is the age of the internet. Surely all those markets have seen the U.S. trailer.
Right.
But it would have been, I agree, it would have been nice if they had been able to keep that secret. That being said, I mean, if I'm making a trailer and I'm thinking, like, what's going to attract this audience, like,
oh, no,
that's a great scene.
That
and it's
that
not
built the
whole movie.
Yeah, that made the hype work. I'm sure, like, in a world where I don't...
To be honest, I saw that trailer and thought, I'm going to see that movie.
Right, yeah.
Weekend it comes out.
In a world where I don't automatically see all these movies, if I had gone to see Thor the Dark World and had the reaction to it, which I had, which is like, this is definitely the worst of the Marvel Cinematic Universe so far, if I had seen a trailer for another Thor movie without that Hulk scene, I might have gone, eh, whatever, I'm skipping it. I'll read the reviews. Instead, yes, that would have got me to go, oh, look, this one looks fun. The trailers did make it look fun. I just wish, I'm covetous of the moment I did not have. I'm covetous of the moment where the three of us were sitting there, and that happens, and Hulk comes out, and us and all the other nerds in the theater scream.
Yes.
That would have been amazing.
And I think that 5 to 10 years ago, that would have been the case.
Yeah.
That they would have gone that route.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I think that marketing in this day and age is different than it used to be. I think you have to leverage the idea that that the internet exists and probably someone is going to leak your film.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's interesting, and this is a topic for another day, because like we all have like a gentleman's agreement about spoilers. You know, anything... The every moment of the plot of this movie, including the post-credit scenes, there are two, yes, wait till the very end, is on Wikipedia right now. Like, the entire internet is just operating with, we're just not going to say anything, but we're going to have this here if you want to find it. So, like, would you maybe have heard this? It wouldn't have made it through the weekend. But the people going on Thursday night and going Friday afternoon would have had that moment. And how much did they lose? I don't know. It depends on how much Marvel is making just on opening the doors and saying Marvel at this point, which is probably a lot of money.
It's probably a lot of money, yeah. I mean, they've, like you said, 17 films. I mean, they've built this franchise, you know, from the ground up.
Liz, what rating would you... before we get out of here, do you have anything to plug? Do you have any dates? Do you have any events? I don't know.
You ask that as if you know something that I don't know. I have no dates and no events.
I don't know if... yeah. I just wanted to give it... do you... social media you want to make people aware of? Or do you keep to yourself?
For reasons that I won't disclose here, I'm a big fan of Xanadu at the CLO Cabaret. You should definitely go out and see that.
There, see, that's what I'm talking about. And you probably want people to see The Crucible at Little Lake Theater.
I have also personal reasons to endorse seeing The Crucible at Little Lake Theater, which closes the weekend before Thanksgiving. So you that's a hurry up and get out there kind of thing.
I'll remind people now to get their tickets for the next DVE Loaded show, the last one of 2017. I'll say it here because we only have so many listeners, and nobody tell the DVE people that I told you this. This is not only the last Loaded show of 2017. This is the last Loaded show. It's not as though, well, I should say, we're going to do Loaded stages at the festivals, but in terms of Loaded show being a regular thing that happens every few months, that's going away. Will other things happen? Yeah, but the Loaded show you know and love, if you've ever come out to it, this is the last one of those, just like that. So get your tickets now. It is Saturday, November 11th at Club Cafe. Starts at 10:30. Tickets are just $10. Get them now at clubcafelive.com.
Holy moly, changes are coming.
Yeah, yeah. And Liz, what rating on a scale of 1 to 10, say, would you give Thor Ragnarok?
I would give it an 8.75.
That's very fair. I refuse to go to fractions, let alone to the thousandth decimal place. Or is that the hundredth?
Definitely the hundredth.
That's the hundredth.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, eight. And it's a nice eight. It's a warm eight. This is definitely a lot of fun and you should go see it.
I mean, the 0.75 was really just my personal love of the franchise.
Right. That's fair.
That's the extra credit.
All right, Lego, come here. You've been trying to get in on it.
Yeah,
come
on,
here,
buddy.
Let's get your thoughts. Does he talk when you want him to or only when you don't?
Only when you don't.
Does he no speak?
No, definitely not.
Well,
will you just make some noise for me, buddy?
Here, let's... yeah, give him the mic.
All right, here you go, buddy. What do you want to say? You're getting a lot of smell noises.
Is he...
that's about it.
There's nothing you could do to prompt...
just
Yeah. Arf! That was us. That wasn't. But now.
That's like a deer in headlights response.
Yeah, he was terrified.
Yeah, he's like, what are you doing?
All right, now the show just ended with me barking.
Well.